Welcome to God First, a program committed to encouraging you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's episode.
Welcome to the program. My name is Brian Thomas, and I want to thank you for joining me today, as I am delighted to be joined again by special guest this week, Dr. Bruce Logan, as we are continuing to discuss his series on developing a biblical worldview. So as we continue with the series that you wrote, a friend of yours asked you this question, quote, "How does my religious views or my theological perspective impact or influence my political views?" So what was your answer to this friend?
Well, in essence, we talked about, when we talk about worldview, the fact of the matter is that he wanted to make it out of a political question, which is kind of what happens in most cases when people want to start talking about these issues. They want to make it about politics. He wanted to make it, because actually when that happened, that was the day after the 2016 election where Trump won over Hillary Clinton. And we were visiting, it was like literally the next day. And that's when he asked me that question. Of course, you know, he was, you know, obviously we had different, even though he's a minister, this friend of mine, he, you know, have a different opinion and outlook on politics from the way that I do. He separates religion and politics, whereas I say you have to be able to look at them as one, because it's not an issue of politics so much as it is a worldview issue. Mm-hmm. To make a long story short, we're dealing with a worldview issue when it comes to politics, because when you examine, if you just critically think through the issues that we're being talked or told, or that's being talked about, or that's being promoted by the media, you can clearly see the connection of a biblical worldview versus a secular worldview. So basically, the first in 2016, just the full disclosure, I was kind of disillusioned by both of the candidates. Mm-hmm. And because I've always been an issue-based person, I'm want to compare what issues based on a biblical worldview, because I look at it as a worldview question and not a political issue. But with that said, I was very disillusioned in 2016, and I basically didn't vote for either of them. I voted for one of the independent candidates, mm-hmm. kind of a protest. Mm-hmm. But then as time went on, I started to see, you know, once I got past a lot of the things that make people like uncomfortable with Trump, you know, his tweets and his, you know, some of the remarks. Once you got past that and actually looked at policy initiatives, and then I started saying, okay, and you compare those policy initiatives to the left, because that's kind of give you an example. Within the first year of the Trump administration, we went in America for the first time, we became energy independent. That means not only were we energy independent, but we became the leading exporter of fossil fuel in the world. And prior to that, that had never happened before. Prior to that, we had been dependent on OPEC. Mm-hmm. And so whenever there was, a terrorist attack in one of the OPEC oil fields, then what would often happen to our gas prices? Our gas prices would automatically shoot up. But under the first couple years of the Trump administration, there were two separate terrorist attacks in one in Saudi Arabia and one in Iran. And ordinarily, our gas prices would go up. But in this case, instead of our gas prices going up, they either went down or stayed the same. Well, that's because we were no longer dependent upon OPEC in terms of getting our energy. And why, and what that has to do with a worldview question is because the secularist has trying to make, you know, pushing the green energy type of situation. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the energy secretary, I remember you were mentioning to me about how, you know, the gas shortage on the East Coast. Well, yesterday or day before, I don't remember exactly, I was listening to an interview or a press conference from the energy secretary. And the energy secretary, I couldn't believe I was hearing this, but she said, well, if everybody was driving electric cars, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I heard that. Uh-huh.
You heard that. And I could not believe that was, but see, again, a lot of times, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
So basically she was letting them know that there's an agenda and what this agenda is all about. So, I mean, so now we've gone, you know, gas prices are going up and so on and so forth. But again, we're talking from a biblical worldview standpoint. It's a issues versus personality and ideology. Mm-hmm. Versus personality versus party. Mm-hmm. So in other words, my friend had asked me that question as a devout Democrat.
Okay.
So he's voting Democrat regardless, because, you know, Democrat is often, you know, the black liberation theologians automatically align with the Democrat Party because they associate socialism and social justice under the same umbrella. As a matter of fact, I was in a conversation and with this individual made the comment that Jesus would have been a socialist. Mm-hmm. Remember, he used the term that you used earlier. He would have been a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the example that he used, he tried to kind of turn it like the point against me by saying, using the example when Jesus ate with sinners. But see, basically, and I've heard that analogy and that comparison multiple times, but in reality, they were taking the word of God out of context. Because if you read the following verses, when they had asked Jesus, why did you eat with sinners? Jesus explained himself, I do not come to save the righteous, but I come in a paraphrasing to deliver the sinners, to bring sinners to repentance. So he was eating with sinners, and that was like he was evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
He was not co-signing their sin. He was not giving them a little encouraging word and everything's going to be fine and you're good and you're awesome. You know what I mean? And that's how God made you. No, he was bringing sinners to repentance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the context of not only do we have to have a biblical worldview, but we also have to have a rightly divided biblical worldview.
Amen. Amen. And that question from your friend, and you stated he's a minister, and I take that to be a Christian minister, and you stated how he separates his
pastor, as a matter of fact.
Oh, pastor. Okay. So he separates Christianity from politics. And that ties into a question. I had someone ask me last week. He asked me the question. He said, Brian, how is it that Christians can go and vote for people that they know advocate for killing babies in the womb? How do they do that? How do they reconcile that? And so I want to ask you the question, what do you believe is the reason? I know you can't think for all of these people, but again, for those who can go into churches and say and preach one thing, but then they go out politically and support the opposite, which is the opposite of the Bible. And for those who go sit in the pews and they say amens to everything that the Bible says, but then they go and vote to the contrary, how do you think they are reconciling that? How do they justify separating their biblical stance from their religious stance?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more of that and further on in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man and the law of unintended consequences. But before we get to that, and we were talking about the need for discernment. And so I'll just touch on it now, but I'm going to expand upon it a little bit more later. But the fact of the matter is that we have a systemic lack of discernment in the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a study here just earlier this week. Were you familiar with George Barna, the Christian researcher?
Yes.
Barner did a study, and he said that only 19% of Christians or church-going Christians have a genuine biblical worldview.
Mm, wow.
So, in other words, the idea, as a matter of fact, I might as well just jump to that. The fact of the matter is that one of the and my, and this is my opinion, my estimation, is that the one, the biggest problem that we have in America is not race, but a systemic lack of discernment among believers. And that's a firm belief of mine. And basically, where does that lack of discernment come from? That lack of discernment is a result of a complete distancing from anything that even resembles good expository preaching and teaching. Yeah. For an example, I don't even know if the last time, I don't even know even if I've ever heard, you know, like a pastor do an expository, you know, 8, 10, 12 week sermon or series on verse by verse of the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. For example, expository, exegeting the book of Romans or the book of Hebrews, and don't even think about the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel.
Right.
I mean, that's just like, they avoid those like the coronavirus.
Exactly. You know?
And I'm saying that when you avoid, you know, Bible prophecy, especially, you're actually eliminating nearly almost 2/3 of the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so much that is going on in the world today is in Bible prophecy. But for those who are not looking at Bible prophecy, they're not seeing these things through a biblical worldview. So their perspective on it is all out of whack.
So again, when you that kind of ties into what, you know, to what you asked, how are so many Christians able to hear and vote Democrat in spite of, you know, the drag queen story hours that's going on? You know, we had a president that during one of the debates, he talked about he's an advocate for 8-year-olds having and taxpayer paid gender reassignment surgery for 8-year-olds. You know, if my 8-year-old son came to me and says, you know, Dad, I think I'm a girl, I want to go have gender reassignment surgery, I'm going to go get him a football and a helmet, say, boy, go out here and let's go play some catch.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? He's 8. Okay. He can't. And so, and it was interesting because I think it was Rand Paul was during the confirmation hearing for the new health secretary, the bisexual or whatever they call themselves, health secretary. And that's ironic in and of itself. Okay. Your first appointment is a bisexual health secretary. Let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think it was Rand Paul that was grilling her, it, him, whatever, during the confirmation hearings, and, you know, asking him, you know, about his belief to give a gender reassignment procedures to 8-year-olds. And not only did he didn't deny it, he doubled down and gave affirmation to it even more. And somehow or another, he still got confirmed. So that's kind of let you know that the spirit of the age is really bad. But it couldn't have happened because a large percentage of the Christian community actually voted for that, in spite of the fact that he let you know exactly what he was going to do. He let you know that gas prices was going to go up. He wasn't even trying to make a secret out of it, because he was going to shut down, you know, various pipelines, put energy workers out of jobs, and on top of the, you know, 30 million plus jobs that were lost because of COVID. And so there's a systemic lack of discernment. See, it's very problematic when the world is telling you what they're going to do, and you know, you still vote for it anyway, because there used to be a time where they wouldn't just come right out and just tell you point blank, this is what we're going to do. They would tell you they were planning to do it, but they wouldn't just come right out. Mm-hmm. And so because the culture, and particularly the Christian church, has become so desensitized that, you know, we completely lack any type of discernment or critical thinking in order to be able to determine and see and understand what's going on.
Yeah. And as you were talking about that, what came to mind for me, I mentioned this in a previous show, the Evangelicals for Biden group, and how they were all upset because when it came to the Hyde Amendment, Biden did not make the changes that they were hoping for. And the question that I was asking myself is, Biden ran throughout the campaign stating his position when it came to abortion. So now why are you upset over the fact that he's not changing his stance? He's doing what he said he was going to do. But that's where, as you said, the lack of discernment comes in. And it just shows that lack of discernment is getting worse as time goes forward, because it used to be a matter where you had to maybe dig a little bit or do some research, but the Holy Spirit would guide you as to where to go to figure out what is really going on. But now, as you said, they're just right out in the open with it, and still people are falling for it and not having the proper discernment. So it is a major, major problem now in churches.
I call it, because you know the world likes using that word, systemic. Mm-hmm. They like throwing that word. They love throwing that word around.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's referring to systemic racism, but there's a systemic lack of understanding, a systemic lack of discernment in the church, and a systemic level of biblical illiteracy in the church.
Yeah. And so you touched on it a minute ago. You stated about the law of unintended consequences. So this lack of discernment has consequences. So what is the law of unintended consequences?
Okay. That's a very good question, because when we talk about the law and again, every one of these topics can be a show by itself.
Right.
The law of unintended consequences, basically, it's a frequently observed phenomenon. Mostly you observe it in politics, but actually you can observe it in your personal life. For example, if you eat a diet of, McDonald's, your whole life, there's going to be unintended consequences to that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an unhealthy immune system. You're going to be overweight. You're going to have blood pressure. You're going to have all kinds of issues. But culturally speaking, the law of unintended consequences is just basically means that actions, and particularly of governments, have an effect that are oftentimes unanticipated or unintended. For an example, one of the examples I like to use, of course, we can talk about the past year in COVID, with the consequences of 30 to 40 million new unemployment claims in less than a year. I saw a statistic yesterday, and basically that's based upon that all happened because of the consequence of the mitigation efforts by the government, the mitigation mandates, of the shutdowns and lockdown. That was a mitigation mandate that came from the government, and from not only the federal, but also various state governments. And those mandates had unintended consequences. In the state of Michigan, I heard this yesterday, that 19% of all the jobs businesses that closed will never come back.
Wow.
So basically, it's kind of like if you think of it like this. Let's say you went you had a cyst on your leg, and you went to have it diagnosed. And the doctor diagnosed it, said, well, you have cancer. We see it's cancerous. And our solution would be that we just immediately amputate your leg. Now, what would the average person do, in that kind of scenario? You wouldn't just say, okay, just cut it off, like right then and there. Mm-hmm. Right. You wouldn't do that. You would say, oh, you would want to go get a second opinion. You would want to try to see if there's other treatment options that you can, try. In other words, the last resort is going to be amputation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's going to be. But what we did in the culture event, we just went along with what the government said. They said, okay, we want to lock the country down, put everybody out of work, give everybody free money, and then give everybody more free money on unemployment, and wonder why we can't get people to go back to work.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you give people more money to sit at home than they would make actually working, and then you can't get people to go back to work, and you wonder why that is.
Yeah. And now you have all these restaurants that the owners are saying, hey, we're reopened. We want to get back going, but we can't find people to take the jobs, because they're saying they'd rather stay home and make the money that the government is giving them.
Exactly. Then we had the president was asked about that earlier in the week, and he said his quote was, not even close. That's fake news. That's not even close to truth.
Wow.
When everybody, everybody know, and you can just see that it's, that is true. I mean, everywhere. I just come back from Tennessee and visiting. I was stayed in Tennessee for a week in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And it's a, I want to say about 30 miles from Nashville. And there was help wanted signs like everywhere you turn. I mean, just literally everywhere. And you know, restaurants were closing early because they can't get people to work overtime. And it was just, it's really bad. They can't get people to work because they were getting more for staying at home. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of an unintended consequence. But then there are broader examples. One of the examples I like to use is going back into the 1960s when LBJ launched a program called the Great Society. And they termed it the War on Poverty. Well, even though it's possible that they may have had well-meaning intent or intentions, mm-hmm. the consequence of that war on poverty or the Great Society was it had a acceleration of fatherlessness in America. Right. And the Black community in particular, there were prior to the early 60s that the African American illegitimacy rate was only 14%. In other words, that only 14% of young African Americans were raised, you know, by a single family. Mm. Fast forward to today, it's over 70%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a serious unintended consequence, because what happened is that you raise a generation of people who become dependent on the government, where the male role was kind of marginalized. So in other words, we don't really need a man. We don't need a husband, don't need a father in a home, because Uncle Sam can be your father. Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember when and I don't know if you saw this, and you can still Google it on YouTube. When early in the Barack Obama's first term, he launched a program, or he tried to initiate a program called, and it was, and he referred to it as the what was it called? The Law of Julia. Or the life, the Life of Julia. Now, did you ever hear about that?
I did not.
It was called The Life of Julia. In other words, it was an advertisement. It actually, they made a cartoon out of it.
Okay.
And basically, it took a person named Julia, a young girl who was born, and every step of their life, all the way to death, from childhood to high school to daycare to high school to college to retirement, was all going to be funded by the government. And the thing that stood out is that there was never any mention of a father. Mm. It was just about Julia and a mother, and no mention of the father, because the government was going to be the father.
Wow.
So again, when you talk about the law of unintended consequences, is that that's, as a believer, when we, you know, when we go through the voting process, we have a tendency to want to, you know, base, you know, be personality driven, mm-hmm. or party driven, instead of being worldview driven. And mm-hmm. I guess that would be the most important thing that I could say out of this conversation that we're having, is that having a biblical worldview in our politics, and our, even in our churches, you know, getting it back into in-depth theological teaching, you know, teaching the, you know, basics of the Book of Romans, and you know, as you know, again, teaching Bible prophecy, teaching just in-depth exegesis of the Scripture, is going to have to be paramount to getting our culture back.
Yeah, well said. And I want to say too, as you were talking, what came to mind, and folks, please know, we're not trying to make this a political show. But as you stated earlier, Dr. Logan, you can't separate your faith in God from anything. And so it intersects with every area of life, even in politics. And as I think about what you mentioned back in the 1960s, the welfare programs and giving money, but the requirement was that the father could not be in the home. And there have been just so many consequences, again, unintended consequences that have came out of that. And I think one of the things that we see today, the problems that we see with this rhetoric of police that are supposedly hunting down Blacks, which is not true. But what we find is that there is this lack of respect for authority, because when you look at these cases, in just about every single one of them, either a crime has been committed and or they're resisting arrest. And the media doesn't like to focus on that for whatever reason. But you see that happening. And I think about the years, the decades that have gone by in which fathers are not in the home. And so you have all of these young men growing up and they don't have a respect for authority. Oftentimes the mother is bitter about their father not being present. And so she's constantly speaking negativity towards their father. So they grow up with this anger towards authority figures. And we see that taking place. I think that is definitely an unintended consequence of what happened many decades ago. Well, Dr. Logan, these again, you've given us so much wisdom and so much discernment. I want to thank you for writing this series and then for coming on to speak with our listeners about it. Share with our listeners how they can find the series and how they can get in contact with you to learn more about you and your ministry.
Okay, you can follow the series on my website. It's drbrucelogan.com, drbrucelogan.com. You can follow me on Facebook at DBL Ministries. That's at DBL Ministries, or you can just Google Facebook, Dr. Bruce Logan Ministries, and I'll pop up. You can also tweet me at Dr. Bruce Logan 1. That's at Dr. Bruce Logan 1. And then you can also email me at br2logan@aol.com. That's br2logan@aol.com. And you can also follow me on MeWe and Parler. Although go to Parler app or MeWe app and search Bruce Logan, and then I'll pop up.
All right. Well, folks, if you've never followed him before, I encourage you to reach out to Dr. Logan, because if you are looking for answers to questions in the Bible, again, he has a wealth of information. You will definitely not be disappointed. So please visit him. And Dr. Logan, again, I want to thank you for coming on, and I pray many blessings over you and your ministry.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in again with us this week. Please come back next week as we again encourage you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. And to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the God First program. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to put God first while viewing life through the window of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.